Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's great to have you with us for the second Sunday of the year. And welcome, especially if you're new with us here at Barney's. It's great that you can actually be with us here at church. Why don't we pray as we get started? Let's pray that God might open up our hearts and minds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather as your people. And we pray, Lord, that you might speak to us this morning. If there are areas in our life that we need to be challenged, we ask, Lord, that you might give us the strength and the wisdom and the honesty to wrestle with that. And we pray, Lord, that we might give all of our lives to your Lordship. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see how far I go. As we start the year, I wonder if you can guess what was the number one song at the end of last year. The number one song at the end of 2022. Now, here's a bit of a clue. Don't have to put your hands up. You don't have to call out. Just sort of picture what song comes to mind and have that there in your heads. As a bit of the clue, it's the same song that was number one at the start of the year. It was number one again. The song that was number one was All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey. Now, there are some songs that fit a particular season. And so that song there behind me, All I Want for Christmas, is for Christmas time. And at New Year's, last week, we sing Auld Lang Syne. There are particular songs for particular seasons. Now, the song that you sing on the Sabbath is this one, Psalm 92. Did you see that at the very start of the psalm? There's actually a heading there. And unlike other parts of the Bible, but in the Psalms, the headings are actually part of the original. It's there in the Hebrew text itself. So let me read it out if in case you glossed over it, in case you didn't see it. The heading for Psalm 92 is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It's a song that reminds us of the Sabbath, and we'll come back to that a little bit later. It's a song for when God's people get together on the Sabbath, just like what we're doing as we get together. This is a song for us. Now, in January, over these weeks, we're going to be working through a number of different psalms. And as we get together as God's people, as the church, as we start the year, what is it that we need to hear as we look at this psalm? The first thing that Psalm 92 says to us is, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you. Let me read out verse 1. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. Now, we don't use those instruments. You might not have seen a 10-stringed lyre at the front. You might not have seen the melody of the harp, but we sing God's praises. And in verse 1 it says, it is good to praise the Lord, to praise Yahweh. Did you see in verse 2, how do we praise God? It's not by repeating the same line over and over again, singing the same chorus time and time again. It's not by mumbling some half-truth words, sorry, some half-truths about God. It's not about being embarrassed by what we believe in. That's not how we praise God. I remember back in high school, we had to sing the school song. The problem was that no one really knew verse 2 and verse 3 of the song, even though we'd been at school for many years. The problem was with these verses, they actually rhymed. They were kind of wordy. They were confusing. And so I remember a time when we got to verse 2, as we were singing the song, everyone went kind of silent, went quiet. We were hoping that the person next to us actually knew the words, but they didn't know the words either. And I remember this one time where we got to that verse and we were mumbling over the fuzzy bits and the teachers got really annoyed at us. I think it was actually the music teachers. They forced us to sing it all over again because we didn't know our own school song. And doing that was actually even more embarrassing. That's not what we do when we sing God's praises. There's no embarrassment here. There's no confusion about what we're singing. Did you see in verse 2? Proclaiming God's love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. God's love in sending his son Jesus. declaring that, marveling at that, proclaiming his faithfulness, the fact that God's love never changes. It is good to praise the Lord. And how do we do it in verse 2? By declaring his love and his faithfulness. We praise God by proclaiming his character. Now, why? Why praise the Lord? The answer's there in verse 4. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. At the start of the year, it's good for us to think about what God has done for us. What are the things that you can praise God for and to give him thanks for? Maybe it's your work, your health, the things that you have, your kids, having a place to live, things that you're looking forward to this year. For us as a church, there's lots of things to praise God, things to praise God for from last year. The carols event just a few weeks ago. The fact that we could actually have a church camp and it wasn't caught off. New families who came to church and have joined us. How great are your works, O Lord, for us as individuals and for us here at Barney's. Maybe last year was hard for you, and there have been struggles, relationships that are tough, health issues, there's been sadness and grief. If that's you and you've barely made it to church here today, praise God that you are here. And keep going back to what it says in verse 2, that God loves you and he's faithful. His love does not change. God loves you enough to send his son to die for us. Our sins are forgiven. And even in the hard times, maybe especially in the hard times, God is with us. We heard that at Christmas, if you remember, Emmanuel, God with us even in our struggles. It is good to praise the Lord. And it is good. C.S. Lewis has a quote which is helpful for us to think about. He says, "Worship is the very thing that God requires of us, and yet at the same time, it does us good." It is good to praise the Lord because praising God puts God at the center. And when God is at the center, it actually lifts my vision. It lifts my horizons so that I see life not in light of me. I see life in light of God and what he is doing and what God has promised. It's a little bit like that TV commercial for a mobile phone. I can't remember which brand it is. It might be an iPhone or a Samsung. But you've got a bunch of people and they're taking a photo of the sunset. Instead of being amazed by the glorious colors of the sun going down, they're all staring at their phones. They miss the glory, the beauty of the sunset. That's what happens when we focus on ourselves instead of praising God. We miss the glory and the beauty of God and what he's doing. When Lionel Messi won the World Cup, I'm pretty sure that he wasn't focused on how tired he was, how bruised he was, how he's going to feel in the morning. His eyes were fixed on something else. Lifting up the cup, reveling in that glorious moment. As we start the year, fix your eyes on God. Not on school and all the things that you need to get ready for. What holidays you've got planned for the year, things to do around the house, your work, your money, your job, your home. Praise puts God at the center. And it guards us from just navel-gazing, from being self-absorbed. It changes our fears, our doubts. It puts the person who is number one as number one. It is good to praise the Lord. The song for the Sabbath, Psalm 92, stanza 1, praise the Lord. Stanza 2, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. You see, the fool is not captured by the glory of God. The fool is captured by something else. The fool is captured by the wicked and wants what they have. Take a look at verse 6. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. The fool sees the godless, sees the ungodly. He sees that they're successful, that they're doing well. And he says to himself, that's the way to live because it works. Friends, that sort of thinking is foolish. The wicked spring up like grass in verse 7. They flourish for a time, but they're destroyed forever. When Dawn and I moved into our old home around 9 years ago, the house that we moved into had a lawn, and the lawn was beautiful. It was new, it was green, it was fresh, and it just shot up. It got to the point where it was so verdant that it was kind of like a jungle in some ways. Half a year later, in the middle of winter, that lush green grass was dead. And the psalmist says, that is the wicked. They spring up and they can flourish, live lives that are rich and lush and attractive. And when you look at the lives that they have, how easy it is, the success they have, it can be tempting to live how they live. As we look around, it can be things that are outright wrong. In business, just cutting the corners and taking shortcuts. Maybe it's bending the truth because that makes things easier. For us, sometimes that can be the small things. Cheating on your tax return. Lying about where you live just to get into the school that you want. It can be as normal as living for yourself. Living for your kids. And we say to ourselves, it's okay. As long as we've got God somewhere in the picture, then that's enough. God does not have to be in the driver's seat, as long as he's somewhere in the car. The song in Psalm 92 says, don't be a fool. The wicked flourish, but they're destroyed forever. And the psalmist has seen that for himself. In verse 9, for surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. Verse 11, my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. Now, we don't know who wrote the psalm, but his enemies here seem to be God's enemies, and they have been defeated. They're scattered, they're routed. Don't get sucked in by the glitz and glamour of the ungodly. It's like the grass, it doesn't last. Because the ungodly, with all the glitz and all the glamour, will be destroyed. It might not happen straight away. It might not happen in our lifetime like it did for the psalmist here. But God says it will happen. It says that in verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, God will punish those who don't know God. They'll be shut out from God's presence forever. And the picture that we get in 2 Thessalonians, it's not just the grass that dries out. It's more like the fires that we had back in 2019, 2020. When I was a kid living in Wagga Wagga, we lived on top of a hill. And we were one of the highest houses on the hill. Everything above us was just grass. There were weeds up there. There was Patterson's Curse. We had a cubby house that was made of this long grass, and you can climb through that into this cubby house. When I was around year 4, a bushfire came through and burnt the whole thing black. All the grass was gone. Don't be fooled. Living for the here and now, living for yourself, the life of the ungodly, it might be attractive, but don't go there. And don't see how close you can get before being burnt. Make sure that God, make sure that Jesus is number one. And that's why we warn people. That's why we want to keep telling people the gospel. That's why we bring people to church. As we gather as God's people, it's not just something that we do on the side. Church is not a counseling service, a place to feel a little bit better, where we give out band-aids for life's little cuts and bruises or techniques to be a better person. Church is about life and wanting people to be saved and not to face the fire of God's judgment. And so as we start the year, who is it that we need to pray for? Who do I need to reach out to? Pray for them. Find opportunities to keep building up that relationship, because we don't want to be fooled. Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Don't be fooled. And last of all, be excited. If you are one of God's people, you are the righteous there in verse 12. Take a look, verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. In verse 7, the evildoers flourish, but it's limited, because in the end, they're destroyed. Here, the righteous flourish, and they flourish forever. The gardening picture keeps going throughout the psalm. The wicked are like grass in verse 7. It comes and it goes. The righteous are like palm trees. It's a picture of life and beauty, growing like a cedar of Lebanon, which is the picture that I've got there behind me on the slide. The cedars of Lebanon are a picture of strength. They can grow up to be 30 meters high. Around the trunk, it's more than 6 meters wide. That's like three of me, arm to arm, just to circle the trunk of this tree. They were strong and lasting, impressive trees. They were the favored tree of the ancient world, that the nations around would build their ships using the cedars of Lebanon. Solomon used the cedars of Lebanon to build the temple. These are not patches of grass that come and go. These are the cedars of Lebanon, people who are strong and alive and vibrant. Because you see where their roots are, planted in the house of the Lord, in the courts of God himself. Now, which one do you want to be? The grass that springs up for a few weeks, it flourishes, it looks good for a time, or the cedars that are rich and strong and are permanent? See, that's what the Sabbath is actually all about. This is a song for the Sabbath, and it reminds us of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's rest in Genesis chapter 2. Having a day of rest each week is a reminder of that, a promise of rest and life with God. A promise of abundance and peace. It's a place of permanence and safety. Now, in the Old Testament, they never got it. They had glimpses, but it didn't last. But that rest, that Sabbath, is fully here in Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and he came back to life again, he opened the gates to heaven so that everyone who trusts in Jesus is planted in the house of God. And fires and storms and flood, they can't touch the righteous. Broken relationships, issues with health, sadness and grief, they are done away with. I love how the psalm ends in verse 14. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. It reminds me of the movie Cocoon, where you've got those old people who are diving in the pool and they come back to life again because they're in this pool where there's these cocoons of an alien life form. Or if you're a little bit more modern, it's like a night at the museum. Those three old guards who are full of energy and vibrancy and youth. Except they're not old people who come back to life again because of some alien cocoons or a magic tablet. It's because of God. An age in God's kingdom doesn't touch us. Even in the old age, bearing fruit, being fresh and green. And you see what the righteous are still doing in verse 2. In verse 2, they proclaim God's love and his faithfulness. And here in verse 15, they are still proclaiming The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. God is still our rock in heaven. And we will see how good he is, how loving he is. There's not even an ounce of meanness or stinginess in how God treats us. If you are one of the righteous, be excited. Songs can be powerful things. Songs can teach us all sorts of things. You hear a song and it transforms you back to a moment in time. You watch a movie and a song can bring you to tears or bring you to joy. Songs are how I learnt the alphabet. You know, the alphabet song, A, B, C, D. When I was looking up a word in the dictionary, I'd have to sing that song to myself to work out where I was up to. Psalm 92 is a great song. Praise the Lord. He's loving. He's faithful. Don't be fooled. The godless life might be attractive, but it leads to nothing. Be excited. God has great things stored up for those who love him. Imagine singing Psalm 92 every Sabbath, every week. Praise the Lord. Don't be fooled. Be excited. Praise the Lord. Don't be fooled. Be excited. Now, I think that if we sang that every week, maybe it'll sink in, just like the alphabet song. This week, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to the office, give it a go. Those three things ringing in your ears. Praise the Lord. Don't be fooled. Be excited. What difference is that going to make in the way that we live? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all your goodness to us. It is good to praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you are loving. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you for the way that you've worked in our life this past year and in the years to come. Lord, we pray that as we start the year, that you keep that message ringing in our ears. Lord, that as we look at Psalm 92, that we are praising you, that we aren't fooled, and that we are excited by what you have in store for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.